So I'm really excited to be able to share with you today and over the next couple of weeks to actually journey a bit together. How many like to journey? Walking with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, is a journey. And I'm excited about us just being able to break open the Word of God together. You know, my primary desire today in opening the Scripture and sharing today is that we would have an encounter. You know, we think of worship, we're having an encounter, but we're having an encounter as we open the Word of God if we're seeking the God of the Bible to encounter Him, right? So you can ascend to things, a mental ascent or ideas, or you can have an encounter with the one who has the greatest ideas ever, right? So that's what I want us to do today. You know, one of the greatest longings of every human on the planet is the longing for vision and purpose in life. How many long to know what your vision and your purpose is? Yeah, every one of us. Why am I here? What am I here for? And I think it's one of the greatest needs of the church today is clarity of vision and purpose. Why are we here? What do we exist for? What are we supposed to be doing? And I'm not talking about some sort of slick, you know, mission statement, business kind of drafted, catchy, good idea kind of thing. I'm talking about what has Jesus called us to do and to be as His expression on the earth? Like, what is the mission of the church? Now, if you've been around here for long, if you're in leadership here or you've gone through Hope Intro, you have heard the mission, vision statement that we have here that I believe is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that is our call as a church that comes from Scripture, but it's our personalized mission here at Hope. And I want to read it to you today. Are you ready for that? Yeah, so here it goes. It's going to be on the screen. I'll read it to you at first, and then we'll read it together. It says, the vision of Hope is to grow a relational, functional, Spirit-filled family that provides a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. In other words, whether we're here in Springfield or we're somewhere else around the world, we're doing what Jesus would do if He were us. Come on, that's a good word, isn't it? That's an amazing mission. Can we read it together? The vision of Hope is to grow a relational, functional, Spirit-filled family that provides a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. In other words, whether we're here in Springfield or somewhere else around the world, we're doing what Jesus would do if He were us. Come on. Come on, that's so good. So we're doing what Jesus would do if He were us. It's not just a bracelet. It's not just a bumper sticker. It's the mission today. What would Jesus do if He were us? Because I want to be giving myself to that. How many want to give your life to that? Man, I do. We have the most amazing tour guide called the Holy Spirit to lead us in doing it. And not only lead us, but empower us to do it. Are you here? Are you good? Yeah, I know you are. I'm so glad that we don't gather for the purpose of religious routine or just the traditions of man, but we gather around the presence of God. Right? We gather around the presence of God. We value the presence of God above everything. We worship. We encounter Him. And as we are in the presence of God, then we are empowered by His presence to bring His reality to our reality. That's what we're doing. How many are glad you didn't just come to observe, and that's what Christian life is about? I said this a couple weeks ago. This line just dropped in, like, we don't just get to know stuff. We get to do stuff. We get to do stuff. We don't just know stuff. I think there's a lot of knowing, but there's less doing. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, get to do the stuff. We live in this world, but we represent another, right? I love that. Living from His presence. I was thinking about this. How can we demonstrate something that we don't know? That's why the priority is the presence. Because in the presence of God, as we're with him, we know him, right? And when we know him more, then we get to demonstrate what we know and get to live out what we know. Empowered by his presence, we bring that reality to this reality. There's no punching in of a time clock, right? Do they still have those? Yeah, there's no punching in of a time clock. You don't punch in and then punch out and then get back into the kingdom later and punch in and then I punch out for a while and then I punch back in. No, we get to be punched in all the time. That's our call on the earth. There's no punching in and out. We are alive to express the heart and the desires of God on the earth. Like, you do a lot of things in your life, but the overarching vision is you get to release the heart of heaven every day. It's the mission of the church. We're the living representation. We're the living expression of the kingdom of God. Turn to somebody and say, that's you. Come on, look him in the eyes. Just look him in the eyes. That's you, you beautiful person. That's you, you beautiful man. That's weird. Beautiful woman. That's weird too. That's why every word matters. That's why every response matters. Right? When we look at it like this, there's nothing that doesn't matter. Everything matters. There's no like, oh, I'm kind of like punched out right now, so I can say this. There's no like, oh, I'm punched out, I can act like this. There's no like, oh, I'm punched out now, I can just like, you know, hang out. Or I can be like kind of different over here. Right? But when I'm punched in, and I see all of my life as being punched in, then every one of my words and every one of my actions becomes a powerful thing because it becomes the expression of heaven on earth. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of seeing life. And today, my heart is that there's going to be a shift in my thinking and in my way of life, and there's going to be a shift in the church. And because of that, the power of God is going to break out on our city and on the earth in a greater measure. Because we're not just hearing ideas and saying, yeah, amen to that. We're actually becoming what he said. I told myself I was going to be calm all morning. I said, Josh, be calm. Don't get too crazy. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Sometimes I got to be honest, I get weary of talking because I'm longing for the power. There's a lot of talking, right? We talk so much, and talking's good, but I'm hungering for the manifest power of God. I'm hungering for the manifest presence of God in my life. There are days I'm like, I'm going through the day, and I'm like, I know there's more today. I actually can feel it in myself. I'm like, you know what? I know there's more to this day that I'm supposed to be living in than just the talk I'm talking. There's power to be coming from my actions in my life. And I want it. Are you hungry today, church, for that? Are you hungry for the manifest presence of God? I hunger for us as a church to represent his kingdom, a power way beyond words, way beyond ideas and talking points. Because if talking would have brought transformation here, it would have happened by now. I say that a lot around the office. If talking or preaching would have done it, the city would have come to Jesus by now. Is that safe to say that? I mean, as many churches, as many, you know, godly institutions here equipping people, if talking was going to do it, it would have happened. We've had so much talk. We've had so many spiritual and theological even differences. But my heart, you guys, today for the church, for our church, is the longing for the power and the presence of God, the reality of heaven to fill our city. To fill this region, to fill our homes, to fill our places of work. It's a time for us to hunger like never before. It is. It's a time for us to hunger like never before. for the manifestation of the power and the presence of God that has already been given to us. We're not begging for it. It's been given. This kingdom power comes through the church. It comes through the church. It's not swirling around in the atmosphere. Right? It's not like out there somewhere. It comes through ordinary sons and daughters of the living God who say, I know who I am, I know whose I am, and I want to release who he is through me. Ordinary. Ordinary. I say that all the time. Ordinary. Because I think for a long time, there's been people that have been seen as so extraordinary that we put them in a category, and then it allows us to separate viewing ourselves as something different from those supernatural, unordinary people. That wasn't the best language, but there, you get it, right? I mean, no! God wants to break out through ordinary people to do extraordinary things, supernatural, miraculous things through us. Those who know who they are, who are full of the power and the presence, and who call the world to his son by the way that we live our lives. If you want to be that and you want the power, would you just lift your hands right now? I just want to pray this out loud. Would you lift your voices as well and just say, God, would you empower me even right now? Just let the hunger out in this place. The hunger for the presence and the power of God in this room. Come on, church, just pray right now. Just an encounter with the power. An encounter with the power. An encounter with the power. More than we've ever had before, God. Come on, just pray for a few minutes, church. Come on, just lift your voices up. I know you're praying, people. Yeah, we don't want to go through a routine. We don't want to just hear good messages. We want to be changed by the presence and the power of heaven, of Jesus. Breaking in, breaking in, breaking in, breaking in. Holy Spirit, breaking in right now across this room. The presence of God breaking in, breaking in, breaking in. Come on, just lift that hunger. He's fueling you right now. Breaking in all over this room. Passion, desire, priority, realignment. Priority, alignment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We pray that. If you're a believer today, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It's no joke. It's not even just something to be hyped about. It's something to be changed about. Because when I know what's in me and I know who is in me, then it changes who I am. And guess what? He's in us because he wants to be released out of us and remain at the same time. Yeah. Thank you, God. Our vision is to grow a highly relational, highly functional, we're going to develop this over the next couple of weeks, full of the Spirit family. Family that provides a living demonstration of the kingdom of God, because kingdom is family. And I believe we're learning and growing how to even become family, because we've seen so many pictures of family that aren't really the kingdom way of family. And he's restoring his heart of family to us as a church so we can be family to the world. As they come in, you're a part of growing this. If you've been here a day, you've been here 20 years, it doesn't matter. You are a part of this. Because nothing of eternal significance ever comes outside of relationship. All of it comes through heart-connected relationship with the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're in them, they're in us. Amen? The church is to be the most relational place on the earth, the most beautiful picture of family. And it's like I can see it in my mind's eye. I can see it in the Spirit, and we are going towards that church. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, you can grab them. We're going to read a few verses out of here where Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And here we go, verse 13, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. He's comparing us to salt. Have you ever been compared to salt before? We are to be the seasoning. Everybody say seasoning. Seasoning. The Message says it like this. We're to be the seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Salt that has no flavor has completely lost its purpose. Why would you keep salt in your kitchen if it wasn't salty? Would it be called nalt? I don't know. That just came to me. I don't know. It's really weird. Sorry. Yeah, like for no, you know? No, I don't know. That's why I should stick to the notes. If it's, because I think about this before I come, and then I shouldn't go off-roading with weird things like that. But sorry, in the family center, I didn't mean to be so weird. If it's tasteless, it's worthless, right? It's good for nothing. As I was studying this, the Greek word for tasteless actually means to make foolish. To make foolish. So I was reading and studying this, where one writer suggests that if salt without flavor is foolish, what is salt with flavor? The implied truth is wisdom. So salt without flavor, foolish. Salt with flavor, wisdom. So we could say, we are the salt of the earth. We are here, church, to add flavor to the earth around us to the measure that we live in God's wisdom. Come on, think about that. Think about this. Has been burning in my heart. The wisdom of heaven. We are to bring the wisdom of heaven to the culture through the influence that we've been given. Where you have influence, you bring the wisdom of heaven there. How many have influence? Everybody has influence. It's interesting that like 10 people raised their hands. How many people have influence? Whatever influence you have, it's been given by God. And it's intended to be used to bring the kingdom. Think about it. Resist the temptation to separate your life into compartments. The success you have, the influence you carry, have all been given to bring the rule and the reign of heaven here in your life. Are you picking this up? Think about this. The success that you have, the influence, whatever it is, whatever success you have, whatever influence you have, maybe you have influence over one, maybe you have influence over 1,000, maybe you have influence, you know, way beyond that. I don't know, but whatever the measure of influence you have, it's been given to you. It's been given to you by your Father in heaven to release what is in his heart for the earth. You didn't get that promotion just so you could climb a ladder. Think about that. It was a promotion to release an even greater measure of the kingdom of God. What if we thought like that? Stick with me. Like, you didn't get that promotion just so that you could have more money. That's great. That's awesome. You got that promotion because God said, I've got something I want you to release in a greater measure. The people that are drawn to you, think about it. The people that are drawn to you, if you don't have any people drawn to you, then I don't know what to, but you do. I'm sure. The people that are drawn to you, right? That are looking to you, whether they know it or not, they're looking to you for the wisdom of heaven that you carry. They're looking to you for something that you have in you that isn't of you. It's from somewhere else. And they're drawn to you. They recognize that you have something special in you. They don't know what it is, but it's called Jesus. It's called Holy Spirit in you. It's called the wisdom of heaven. And that influence that you have with them is to release the heart of heaven into their lives. Think about it. All the influence you have, whether it's 1, 5, 10, 20,000, that influence, that favor that you have with people has been given to you to release him. You thought they just liked you. You thought you were kind of cool. And you are, I'm sure. Most of you, all of you, I don't know. You're cool. But you thought there was just this kind of natural thing happening, why that person or those people were drawn to you. But it wasn't for what you thought. Church, we got to wake up and realize we're carrying anointing. We're carrying presence. And it should draw people to us. People were drawn to Jesus all the time. Sinners, people in terrible places of life were drawn to Jesus. Why do we think that they shouldn't be drawn to us? They should be drawn to us because we carry the wisdom of heaven in us. And we're here on the earth to dig in deeply so that we can release that. Guys, we got to wake up. We gotta wake up to this fact that we carry something that people want. And we gotta get out of that natural seeing of things, of our promotions and all the favor that we carry. It isn't for us, it's for him. We get the blessing of it, right? We get the blessing of a raise or a promotion or the favor that we have, but it is for the purposes of him being made manifest here through us now. Amen? When we open up to this, we begin to see our influence this way, that it changes everything. We stop building our own kingdoms. So I've had a couple of friends that want to get out of really successful business and work at a church, and I'm like, don't do it. Stay in the place of influence that you have there. Unless God really calls you to do it, right? Like stay in that place because you being there is the salt of the earth. You're bringing the wisdom of heaven in that place. You're just as much of a minister as I am because you're bringing it, whether it's overt or it's covert. You are there to bring it, right? What if we in this room, what if the 1,000 people at Hope Church started seeing our lives this way? What would happen in Springfield, Missouri? Come on, it's the mission of the church. Give them a shout of praise. That's okay. Do it. Yeah. I mean, what would happen? What would happen if we opened up to this and we started entering into this in a greater measure? It breaks us way outside the walls of a church building. Right into the nitty gritty of everyday life. Come on. I'm the biggest cheerleader for all the kingdom things we do in this building and in our church. I've got a lot of my attention on this place, but God has made the whole world wide open to us. If we can just see what is before us in our everyday. What we do in this room is we equip people, we empower them, we give them hope. We give you hope. We equip you with tools, right? But we do it not just so you can know a bunch of stuff, but we do it so that you can actually be the living demonstration. What if, as the salt of the earth, you're carrying the answers to complex problems in our society? What if, as the salt of the earth, you carry the wisdom of heaven and the solutions and the answers to the problems we face in our local context? We got to get our minds and our hearts not only in the church, outside of the church, guys. There is no punching in and punching out of a time clock. We are kingdom people. Kingdom people. Let's lift our vision higher, right? How many want a vision lift? You know, people get facelifts and all that. Vision lift. We need a vision lift because his vision, the vision is higher. We got to get out of this small-mindedness. I believe God is calling us as a church to get out of small-minded thinking that the kingdom only fits kind of like this. Goes way beyond a few traditional roles to serve at in church. We're talking about the actual invasion of heaven. He made you smart for a reason. Some of you know you're smart. Some of you are like even more smart than the average people like me. Some of you are brilliant. And he made you that way. Why did he make you that way? Some of you are talented for a reason. Some of you are like have specific giftings that like will shock the world with the greatness of it. Some of you he made creative for a reason. He made you good with numbers for a reason. Do we have any good numbers people in here? Yeah, I see people pointing at people. That's good. He made you that. Like, don't think that's not kingdom or spiritual. Some of you are awesome with numbers. Some of you you have leadership gifting for a reason at work. You see things that others don't see. You know things that others don't know. I want to encourage you, church, don't suppress it. It's a gift from God to demonstrate his wisdom and his goodness on the earth. And I think many in the church have been afraid to be who they really are because there's this level of false humility. And because of it, many people are bored, so they go out to the world and they don't see the gifts that they have as kingdom when they're supposed to be out there releasing it as kingdom, but they separated it because they punched out. Is this connecting? I hope it is. I hope it is. Following Jesus is not boring. Following powerless religion is. Jesus didn't pay the price to have a bored or boring church. Amen? It's the truth. I read an article from USA Today, and my goodness, I got a cruise, guys. I read an article from the USA Today a few weeks ago. It was a study looking at the quality of life across the U.S. Maybe some of you read it. It says that quality of life is subjective, how they figure this stuff out. It's difficult to measure, they say, but still there's a wide range of quantifiable factors that can impact the quality of life in a given area, okay? Did any of you read this? Okay, yeah. So they created an index to measure it, and they measured the quality of life by these categories, like crime in a community, the economy in a community, education, environment, health, housing, all these different things, to identify the 50 worst cities to live in. Yeah, they did. And it said, so I was reading this, I was like so intrigued by this. I'm like, I wonder what cities are like the worst cities to live in. Like, thank God I live in Springfield because it's so awesome. But in this article, it said out of 50 cities across the U.S., that Springfield was the number 8th worst city to live in. By these measurements. There were, in 2016, 1,345 violent crimes for every 100,000 people. So it's per capita. There were 8,518 property crimes. It's the third highest property crime rate in the U.S. I know. We started out laughing and now we're like crying, right? Poverty rate, 24.6%, so nearly a fourth of the city, it says, is living at poverty or below. So I read that, and my first thought is, like, that's not true. Right? That can't be true. Like, I don't see that. Like, that can't be true. Like, but let me just say this to you, and maybe you're here today saying, like, oh, that can't be true either. They've skewed that, whatever. Even if it's not true, that we're like the 8th worst place to live, those numbers are true. And it's happening on our watch. Yeah. Whose responsibility is that? The government? Not if we're kingdom people. If we're kingdom, then we care about this. Yeah. Right? It's happening on our watch. The church, the salt of the earth, I believe actually would carry the wisdom and the solutions to these difficult things. Could we have faith for that? To believe that people in this room could actually carry the wisdom of heaven to affect these situations? Why wouldn't the church be the greatest carrier of wisdom? If we have the mind of Christ and it's not just an idea, but we actually have the mind of Christ and we actually have been given the resources of heaven, why wouldn't we be those that bring that kind of living demonstration to Springfield, Missouri with those numbers happening? Seriously, come on, say amen with me. I feel like some of you are like so preoccupied with this. We're in this world, right? We're not of it, but we are definitely in it. And we should be alarmed by these numbers, but we should not be afraid or discouraged. This isn't a time to speak death over what isn't. Don't go to lunch today and talk about how horrible those stats are. I want to tell you, we're to leave here today with a passionate heart to pray. With a passionate heart to ask God, what can we do to be a part of the transformation of that information? Come on. Our city needs us to speak life. Not only speaking it, our city is looking for us to be life. They don't even know it. They're not looking us to throw stones at them of all the problems, what isn't. They're looking for us to be the salt of the earth, to bring the manifest wisdom of God to earth. And you thought you just signed up to come to church and just be nice and, you know, pay your tithes and not swear. No. He died for your whole self. He said, I gave it all to you, and I'm looking for you to open up to the city around you and be life. I want you to be the salt. I want you to have the solutions to the complex situations that we face in our time. Our city needs us to be hope. Amen? I want to remind you, too, that violence is not happening in heaven right now. Nobody's robbing the pearly gates. They're not taking, you know, the gold chunks out of the streets of gold. Nobody's in poverty in heaven. And if we really do believe what Jesus said in his prayer, that on earth as it is in heaven, then our prayer is going to be answered to bring that through the manifest wisdom of God through all of you and all of me. I heard somebody say this, that the one who has the most hope has the most influence. When you have little hope, you have little influence. That's why when we approach culture, when we approach our city, when we approach our world, any of it from a powerless place or a fearful place or a hopeless place, we're missing it, and we're missing the opportunity to influence for kingdom purpose. Amen? There's absolutely no hopelessness in heaven. They're not hopeless right now about these numbers. The Trinity is not up in arms over this. They're not up in arms over America. I actually believe that they're looking down with so much hope, believing in the sons and daughters of the living God, that they are going to actually carry out the Great Commission and carry with anointing and power the answers to what needs to come. Everybody smile at me. Come on, smile. We should have the most influence because we're the people of hope. We should have the most influence because we're the people of hope. When we walk out of here each week, we should be filled with such expectation and so much hope that we walk out of our homes in the mornings to the places that we go, to our gatherings. We should be the most hope-filled, encouraged people because we intimately know the one who is the hope of the nations. Man, I've just got like 2 minutes. How can that be? Yeah. So I have a friend here that goes to Hope. He's a neurosurgeon. We have lots of doctors at Hope. They've come in the last few years. I love it. We have a neurosurgeon in our church who also is a puppet master. He's a neurosurgeon by day and a puppet master by night. Kidding, it's not. It doesn't happen at night. It happens in kids' church. It's kind of weird. He's my friend. He's the real deal. And I was thinking about him. The Lord just brought him to me. And I know his heart. And when he's opening up brains, not many of us can say that, opening up skulls, opening up spines, he's being a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. Right? I know this because he relies on the Lord. He's called me before to ask for wisdom, to just pray for a case or whatever. He relies on the Lord. And as he relies on the Lord, he brings the wisdom of heaven through his hands. How many are thankful for the wisdom of heaven flowing through doctors' hands? Amen. And when he's behind the puppet stage making funny voices and ministering to children, he's also being a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. Come on, right? We're talking about all of life, a whole life, no separation, a full seeking first of the kingdom of God. We have many doctors at Hope who are full of the Spirit. They pray with patients for healing before. They believe God to heal. They see healing many times before surgery, and they see it after as well. The point is, there'll be no boxes put around what it means to bring heaven to earth. Oh my goodness. Okay. Matthew 5, here we go. Back to Matthew 5 where we just were. Verse 14, after this whole salt talk, he goes on to a light talk. He says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Whew. So good, isn't it? I was reading this with my kids a couple of days ago, and I was challenging them to not only be a light outside of the house, but to be a light in the house. How many know sometimes it can be harder to be a light in your house than outside? Yeah, and I just said, girls, let your light shine to each other. That's like so powerful to do that in our house. And I said, it could look like this. It could look like you caring for your sister in just a really practical way. You could shine. I said, Olivia, you know, it could look like you taking our little teddy dog out for Emmy because that's her chore with just for no reason, right? I mean, when do siblings do something for no reason, right? Maybe they do at your house, but it could be like, hey, I want to help you with that. Or like Emmy, it could look like you like doing the dishes for Olivia for no reason. Like that would be a real practical way of shining your light in the context of home, right? So we have this great talk. You know, most of the time you're like, I'm not sure any of this is connecting. I'm hoping it is. So we ended the talk, a few minutes went by, it was time to take Teddy out. I said, hey, Teddy needs to go outside of the bathroom. That's Emmy's job. So Olivia kind of gives me the wink. She's like, I'll take Emma. How about I take Teddy out for you right now? And Emmy literally drops it, what's in her hand. She goes, there is a God. And I thought, exactly. That is exactly what this scripture means, right? The point is, when you do things that bring his world to this world, the world is going to notice and praise God. That's a good word right there. Come on. I'm like, there is a God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Oh my goodness. Okay, so the message, I'm going to read it in that same passage, verse 14 to 16 says it this way. Here's another way to put it. It says, you're here to be light. Bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Sounds like influence to me. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Everybody say shine. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others, and you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So good, isn't it? Church, we're going public. We're going public. We're going public with the goodness of God. We're going public. I want to ask you this morning. What is your light stand? What is your light stand? Where's your hilltop? Where have you been given influence? Because you've been given it to shine. There may be lesser reasons that you got it, but you have that place and that influence. However big or small in the world's eyes, you've been given that place of influence to shine. Amen? There's this little verse, and I end with this. in 1 John that has been rocking my world. Do you ever get a verse that just rocks your world? This verse has been rocking my world the last few days, the last really few weeks. And it's this 1 John 4:17, and it says this, as he is, so are we in the world. As he is, so are we in the world. As Jesus is, not as he was, as he is, so are we in the world. It's not rocking you the same way. Let it sink in. As he is, I get to be. Whew. Your whole life, as he is, right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, you get to be a living demonstration. Amen? Would you stand with me? I was going to end the service a little differently today, but for the sake of just time, I just want to ask everybody in this place today this question. You know, first of all, how many know there's more? There's just more. There's always more. There's more for our lives. There's more for us. There's more for the city. There's more for you. There's more for all of us. And when we, the church, the followers of Jesus, the Jesus followers, step into the reality that as he is, so am I in the world. When we say yes to that, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers the yes. And says, you want to leave boring? You want to live normal? Leave normal? You want to jump into that next place that I designed you for? We can do it. I'm actually cheering you on. He's cheering us on, church. And the second that you don't believe he's cheering you on is the moment that you're defeated. And you have to have a shifted mindset. But the truth is today, heaven is cheering us on. He's cheering us on. He's saying, hey, you guys go out there, change those statistics. He's saying, hey, go out there. You've got answers in you. You've got wisdom in you to change the city around you. Because I said you could, and I want to empower you to do it. How many want to do that? I'm going to ask this. I was going to earlier going to invite people to come forward, but we got to go. So I want to ask you, if that is you, I want you to lift both hands to heaven, and I want you just to begin saying yes out loud to him. Yes. If you got a yes, just keep saying yes. You're saying yes. I want to be a living demonstration of the kingdom of God in all the parts of my life. Whether I'm here in Springfield or I am somewhere else around the world, I want to be doing what Jesus would do if he was me, because as he is, I get to be. Yeah. All over this place, I pray for power from on high. I pray for creativity to explode. I pray for mindsets of limitation to be broken. In Jesus' name, I pray for boxes that you or someone else has put you in to be cut down in Jesus' name, where you can fly the way you were made to fly, that you can see the places of influence that you have as places to release his heart, that you will never punch in and out. You will only punch in. You will only punch in. You will not punch out any longer. You are punched in, and you will release the supernatural power, manifest wisdom of God wherever you are in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give the Lord a big shout of praise? Come on. Yeah. So good. So good.